Hey there, budgeteers. Are you ready to unlock the power of each payday and take control of your finances like a boss? Introducing the Payday Power Planner from New Money Habits. This isn't your average budgeting tool. Oh no. With the Payday Power Planner, you'll harness the unique rhythm of your paychecks to supercharge your financial game. Say goodbye to the confusion of monthly budgets and hello to the clarity of every payday. You'll know exactly when money is coming in and when it's going out, giving you the edge you need to stay on top of your finances. But that's not all. With the Payday Power Planner, you'll easily spot whether you're rocking a surplus or facing a deficit. Armed with this knowledge, you'll make informed decisions that set you up for financial success. It's time to transform your relationship with money and create the new money habits you need to achieve financial freedom. Get your hands on the Payday Power Planner from New Money Habits today and start making every dollar count. Don't let financial stress hold you back. Create a better plan for your money and seize the power of your pay period and thrive with the Payday Power Planner. Visit newmoneyhabits.com now to grab your free copy and unleash your financial potential. On this episode of the New Money Habits podcast, we're going to discuss a few 401k investment basics, reveal the three things you need to know to select 401k investments, and list the do's and don'ts of retirement investing. What's up, budgeteers, and welcome to the New Money Habits podcast. I'm your host and one of the co-founders of New Money Habits, Coach Nino Villa. And today on the New Money Habits podcast, we're going to answer some key and fundamental questions about 401ks, discuss the three things you should know about every mutual fund or EFT you invest in, and talk about the top do's and don'ts of retirement investing. If you have any questions, be sure to hit us up on social at New Money Habits and follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen to podcasts. If you want to help out the show, consider leaving a 5-star rating and review. We cannot thank you enough for leaving those 5-star ratings and reviews. They truly help us to spread this message of hope to people looking for a better plan for their money. Now let's get into today's episode. Recently, a number of clients have come to me asking about their 401ks. And there's usually two questions that they really want answered when we start talking about their 401k. The first is, how much should they be contributing to their 401k? And the second question is, what should they be investing in? And so as I've taken a closer look at my clients' 401ks with them, I thought I would do a podcast episode on the very questions that they have been asking. The question about how much is really going to depend on my client's situation. And so the easy answer is we want to get to a point where we are investing up to 15% of your gross income into your 401k. But there are a couple of different variables as to how do we know when 15 is the right number, when it's not going to be detrimental to other financial goals that my client has. And so we have to look at the entire landscape of their financial situation. And so it starts with the income that's coming home now and the expenses that you currently have. Are you running a surplus? And if there's a significant surplus, that means there's an opportunity to contribute more to a 401k. It also depends on whether or not my client is already investing in, say, a Roth IRA. And so between the Roth IRA and contributions to the 401k, are we getting close to 15% of the income being invested in retirement savings? And so the easy answer is up to 15%, but I'll give you a couple of client stories. Currently, I just actually sat down with a 38-year-old female a week or so ago. And when we were looking at her 401k contributions, currently she is contributing 3% and her employer is contributing 4%. So she's got a total of 7% going into her 401k. And with the surplus that she has every single pay period, we started discussing a path towards growing those contributions from 3% to 5, up to 8, 10, 12, and getting ourselves close to 15. And I encourage each one of my clients to be contributing 15% of their own money. And then if their company has a match, let that just be gravy. And so that 4% that the employer is contributing right now doesn't mean we're just going to tap out at 11%, add the 4 and get to 15. No, we're going to get to 15% eventually, add the 4, and now we're up to 19. And so that's, those are the individual contributions, though, 15%. If the company is matching, like I said, let's just let that be gravy. And so that 38-year-old female, like I said, is currently at 3, and we are mapping out a path to increase those contributions over time and get her closer to 15%. I'm working with a 26-year-old male who is already putting about 10% away into his 401k, but he's maxing out his Roth IRA. And so we're not increasing his 401k contributions at this time as we focus on, let's make sure we max out that Roth IRA first. And then once that has taken place about midway through the year, we can take a look at the 401k contributions at that point and raise them if need be. I'm also working with a 25-year-old female who is contributing 15% to her 401k and is contributing some to a Roth IRA. She's going to try to max out that Roth IRA, but right now, the 15% into her 401k is the first priority in her retirement savings. And then if there's additional surplus to invest in retirement savings, then she moves to the Roth IRA. And then I'm working with a 60-year-old couple that I couldn't tell you what percentage they are contributing to their 401k at this point, but I know that their 401ks are in very healthy positions and that they are using surplus right now to buy and invest in other income producing assets. And so I just circle back to the easy answer to how much should you be contributing to your 401k is up to 15%. But as those four different scenarios just kind of illustrated, it's really going to depend on the client as to how much they're contributing right now, what is the path forward to get contributions up, or contributing to something else like real estate and investment properties that produce another stream of income. So that second question that is really common right now is, okay, I'm making contributions to my 401k, but what should I be invested in? And so I like to start all of my clients off in the same type of mix. Now, remember, I am not a financial advisor. I'm a financial coach. So the type of recommendations I make are more like directional, like you may want to consider these things, not specific funds per se, types of funds, yes, but not specific funds. And consult your 401k specialist and when you're taking a closer look. But there are four types of funds that I encourage my clients to start off investigating and getting more familiar with so that they can get a sense of what am I investing in and how risky is that investment. So the first type of fund that I have my clients look at is a large cap fund. And if you're not really familiar with the investment lingo, a large cap fund just means large capitalization. Think of capitalization like capital, and it just means really large companies with lots of money. So large cap funds, mutual funds, are funds that are made up of 500, 1,000, 2,000 companies within the fund. And a large cap fund would be large companies. These are your big blue chip companies, your big tech companies like Amazon and Apple and Microsoft, your big automobile companies like Ford and Daimler Chrysler. It's your big communication companies like AT&T. Name the big ones, you know, Pepsi, Coca-Cola, all of those big name companies are the type of companies that a large cap mutual fund would be invested in. And the performance of such a fund is usually benchmarked against the S&P 500. So you take a look at a fund and you compare it to how the S&P 500 has been performing. And then you get a sense of whether or not that large cap fund is something you want to invest in. And you may invest just simply in a S&P 500 index fund as part of that large cap investment. And so that's one of four. The second of four would be a mid-cap mutual fund. And so mid capitalization, just meaning kind of more up and coming, more established company that has been around for a little bit, but maybe is not a big hitter like the Coca-Colas of the world. And so the mid-cap fund has a couple of different benchmarks that it could be compared against. One is the S&P 400. Another is the Russell Mid-Cap Index. And then you can take a look at how that fund is performing. Or again, you can get into an index fund that just already is invested in the same 400 companies that the S&P 400 is tracking. And so that index fund would just be invested the same way. A small cap fund would be your newer, more volatile companies. And so you can see a lot of growth, but you can also experience loss, significant loss in small cap funds. And so the index that's used to measure performance against here is the Russell 2000. And so again, you could just find a Russell 2000 index fund that would be invested the same way the Russell 2000 is invested. And so you could experience and expect the same performance from that small cap fund as you would the Russell 2000 index. And the fourth and final mutual fund that I encourage my clients to take a look at when investing in a 401k is an international fund. And so you can find an international index to measure the performance of an international fund, but these four different fund types would really allow you to be incredibly diversified. If you're in an S&P 500 index fund, you're going to be invested in 500 plus companies right there. Then if some of your money is also allocated towards an S&P 400 index fund, you're going to be invested in another 400 plus companies right there. Now, there might be some overlap between the large cap fund and the small or the mid cap fund. And then the small cap fund, if you found a Russell 2000 index fund, you're going to be invested in another 2,000 companies there. And again, there could be overlap in between the funds, but what this allows you to do is really take your money and diversify so that not only are you not in one company, but you're not in only one type of company, and you're certainly not in one sector, but I'll talk more about sectors in just a moment. But to recap and kind of bring this full circle, when you're contributing to your 401k and you are new to this idea, and maybe it's the first time you're looking at, well, what am I invested in? What is that 401k invested in? There are four different mutual fund types that you could get more familiar with: large cap fund, a mid cap fund, a small cap fund, and an international fund. Those four types, so that you can get more familiar with mutual funds, the different mutual fund types, and the performance that comes with them. Now, there are three things that I encourage my clients to pay attention to when they're selecting a mutual fund or an EFT to invest in. The number one thing I want you to look at is longevity. How long has the fund been around? There are funds that have been around since the 70s, and there are funds that have been around only for maybe the last 6 months. But you can easily see, once you click on a fund through your 401k provider, it'll tell you when that fund was started. Now, there are some who believe that the longer it's been around, the better. And there is a lot of truth to that. If it's been around since the 70s and it's been performing consistently over the decades, well, there's a lot of value there. Just because something is new doesn't mean it can't be a winner. It can't be a good investment. But you are taking some risk because there is simply the element of the unknown. If a fund has only been around for 6 months, 12 months, even only 3 to 5 years, there's limited data. There's limited history there. Now, any good financial advisor and professional will tell you that historical performance does not guarantee future results. It is an indicator of how that fund has been managed over time. So again, if you have a fund that's been around since the 70s and you're looking at 40 to 50 years of data, well, again, while it doesn't guarantee future results, you get a sense of how that fund has been managed and how it's been performing. With a fund that's only been around for 6 months, 18 months, or even as little as 3 to 5 years, you get less of a sense of how that fund has been managed. And you can't discern how that fund may perform in the future because there's just not as much historical data to go off of. So the number one thing you're going to look at is longevity. How long has that fund been around? The second thing you're going to look at is performance, and you're going to look at not only how has that fund performed, is it performing well or not, you need something to compare it to. And so those index funds that I was talking about earlier become the benchmark for the fund that you're looking at to see, well, is it outpacing the S&P 500, this large cap fund that I'm considering? If it's not outpacing the S&P 500, well, then you might as well just invest in an S&P 500 index fund. Why invest in a fund that can't perform at or better than its benchmark? And so you're going to look at that performance, and you're going to look at the performance, obviously, over time. The daily performance, the monthly performance, and maybe possibly even the year-to-date performance is not going to be necessarily as important as, well, how's it performed over the last 12 months, the last 3 years, the last 5 years? And you can track back all the way to a fund's inception. So if that fund's been around for decades, you get to see decades worth of performance and get to track it against the benchmark and look at how has it performed against the S&P 500? How has it performed against the Russell 2000? And so that's the second thing you're going to look at is performance. And again, I want to just encourage you to compare it because let's say you're looking at a large cap fund that has performed year to date 9%. You might be like, wow, that's incredible. Okay. But how has the S&P 500 performed year to date? Because if it's significantly different, then you're going to want to proceed with caution. For instance, the S&P 500 has done 10.56% year to date. So if you were looking at a fund that has only done 9%, while that is not far off the benchmark, it is behind the benchmark. And so now I would start to look at the last 12 months, the last 3 years, the last 5 years, how has it performed against the benchmark? And if it is consistently under, then I'm not going to be very interested in that fund at all, and I'm going to move on. The third thing I want you guys to look at when you start investing your money in your 401k and you're really paying attention to what types of funds you're picking is, once you've looked at longevity and performance, look at the fund construction. What is this fund invested in? And there's two things or two kind of makeups here. One is the sector or the industries that it's invested in, and then specifically the companies within those sectors and industries. And so you can find large cap funds that are heavily weighted in one area over another. You might find one that's largely invested in healthcare and then has a smaller portion of its fund invested in something like technology. But then you can find funds that are exactly the opposite, where they're, the majority of the fund is invested in technology and a minority of the fund is invested in something like healthcare. But you can look at all different types of sectors, you know, the healthcare sector, technology, energy, real estate, and the list goes on and on. And over time, your interest in the type of sectors you're invested in might change. Once upon a time, maybe 30 years ago, being heavily invested in the finance sector and in big banks might have been very appealing. And then things like 2008 happens and big banks are getting bailed out. And so being invested in the finance sector is not nearly as attractive or as interesting as say, technology or healthcare. You know, as we think about it, healthcare is never really going to go away. Healthcare includes things like big pharmaceutical companies. And so you may be interested in funds that are heavily invested in the healthcare sector. And you may be somebody who's not interested in the healthcare sector at all. And so the third thing I want you looking at is the construction of the fund. What sectors is the fund invested in? And what companies within those sectors? I have clients who want to make sure that when they're selecting a mutual fund, that those mutual funds are not invested in certain companies. They're just not interested in being a part of making money off of certain industries or specific companies in certain types of industries. In fact, I used to work for a consulting firm in which a lot of our clients were unions, and those unions were not interested in mutual funds that were heavily invested or even somewhat invested in companies that refused their types of union. And so taking a look at the construction of these mutual funds is something that I got used to doing many years ago. And it's something that I encourage my clients to get more familiar with. You know, when someone is new to investing and being the one who selects the different funds that they're invested in, I often get the question, like, where do I begin? What do I look at? How do I make a decision? And these are my three go-to areas. Look at the longevity of the fund, the performance of that fund compared to its benchmark, and the construction of the fund. What is it invested in? And do you feel good about it? And when you understand those three components, you can make a better, more informed decision on which funds you want to be invested in. Hey there, budgeteers. Are you tired of feeling like your finances are running the show? Well, it's time to flip the script and take charge of your money with New Money Habits Financial Coaching. This isn't your typical financial advice. New Money Habits is about empowering you with the knowledge and tools you need to make savvy money moves and build a solid financial foundation. Here's the deal. We're offering a free discovery session to kickstart your journey to financial freedom. Yep, you heard me right. Free. In this session, one of our experienced coaches will help you to pinpoint your financial goals and create a better plan for your money. We're talking about mastering your money mindset, picking up practical money management skills, and having someone to hold you accountable along the way. So if you're ready to kiss financial stress goodbye and say hello to a brighter financial future, then schedule your free session today to create the new money habits you need to achieve financial freedom. All right, now let's talk about the do's and the don'ts of retirement investing. And I'm going to keep this nice and simple. I got one of each for you. The one do, do take action. Earlier, I mentioned I'm working with a 25-year-old female who is already putting 15% away in her 401k and contributing to a Roth IRA outside of that. And one of the things that I continue to praise her about is that at her age, at 25 years old, I knew everything that I'm coaching her to and helping her to understand, but I didn't do anything about it at that time. So take action. Do contribute to your 401k. Get started. 1%, 2%, 3%. Get started. Take action. Get into something. And then if you're unsure which mutual funds to invest in once your money's in the 401k, well, a lot of times your 401k will have a fund that is based off of the year you should retire. So if you're going to retire in 30 years, that would be 2055, let's call it. And so you might just invest in a fund that's targeted for 2055 while you're learning about these other funds so that you can make a wise decision on where to allocate your money. And so do get started, start contributing, and then get those dollars invested in some type of mutual fund, or at least a simple mix of a large cap fund, a mid cap fund, a small cap fund, and an international fund. And then there's one don't to keep it super simple. Don't compare yourself to or concern yourself with others. The 38-year-old female that I'm working with, as we were looking at her 401k just a week ago, she was really proud of herself for being where she is, considering she feels like she got a late start. She's like, you know, I got a late start. Considering I got a late start, I'm proud of myself for where I am. I do wish it were better. And so as we started to talk about it, and we talked about what she's contributing right now, a path forward to getting her contributions up. And once those contributions are then invested in this type of mix, we talked about what are some realistic expectations between now and retirement age. And she was very pleasantly surprised to discover that there is a path to $2 million by age 67. And so she was kind of comparing herself to others, thinking, wow, I'm not as far along as I wish I would be, or as far as long as I know others are. And I said, don't concern yourself with that. Let's take a look at what you can contribute, how we can get your contributions up. Let's get you invested in a way that is making the types of returns we know that we can get from the market. Her current 401k is invested a little conservatively. And so there was some opportunity there to invest it a little bit more aggressively. And there is a path to $2 million by age 67. Now, we can debate whether or not $2 million is going to be enough. We can debate on what is the right number and how much do you need at retirement to maintain a certain lifestyle and all of those different things. But she was very pleased. This client was very pleased to learn that there is a path to $2 million for her retirement savings and investing by age 67. That is a little less than 30 years, right? She's 38 now. So 29 more years, and there is a path for her to achieve multi-million dollar retirement. And so that brought her a lot of encouragement and motivation to get those contributions up and to start to understand the different mutual fund types, and so that she can make decisions about how she wants to allocate those dollars. And that conversation with that client became the impetus for doing an episode based on 401ks, getting to a point where you're contributing to your 401k up to 15%, getting those dollars invested in mutual funds, and getting a baseline beginner's education to mutual funds with large cap, mid cap, small cap, and international funds. But if you still have questions and you want to sit down and talk about it, of course, you can schedule your free discovery session with me. Again, I'm not a financial advisor, and I am not giving investment advice as much as education around how to get more familiar with the different types of investment funds there are, how to track their performance, and what to be looking for when it comes to longevity performance and fund construction. That does it for this episode of the New Money Habits Podcast. Remember, if you have any questions, make sure to hit us up on social at New Money Habits and follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Please consider leaving a 5-star rating and review to help us spread this message of hope to people looking for a better plan for their money.